Always forget how quick that rolling ends. I thought I had 30 seconds and I didn't. But my name is Stephen Bollinger. I'll be sharing with you a message today. It's great to see you guys this morning. You made it through the rain. I don't know about you guys. Anybody think it was just going to pour like all weekend? And then all of a sudden we get like half a day where the sun? Is that not the coolest thing ever? It makes your day so much better. If you're expecting it to be dreary, then all of a sudden it's sunny and bright and nice. We had a blast. Hope you guys are enjoying your weekend. But I want to continue today with the series that we've been in called Face to Face. And if I'm talking a little bit loud, I apologize because I have lake water in my ears and in my head I sound really quiet. That has nothing to do with the message, but just setting that preface for the day. But we're going into the sixth week of Face to Face. And if you've been with us, you've seen the other weeks. If you haven't, definitely check online. It's online, ctkcharlotte.org, or you can check out Facebook Live. By the way, welcome everyone that's joining us online. Glad to see you. But today is the sixth week. We've gone from everything from face-to-face with our enemies, all the way down the line, face-to-face with our spouse, with our kids, with our peers, with unbelievers. And now I want to talk about being face-to-face with those that are different than us. And, I want to talk about that in the lens of the scripture verse that sort of brings this whole series into context. And that's 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12. It reads this: "For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall be known fully, even as I am fully known." So we're talking about having face to face interactions with others, getting below the surface level of things, and getting into the depth of conversation that means in the relationships where you're actually seeing breakthroughs, you're seeing development, and there's parts where God's just moving in people's lives versus seeing people at a distance or seeing them just as we first glance see them. But I want to start off today with a little bit of humor. Why not, right? Sermons don't have to be all serious, do they? Okay. So we went to a conference about a year ago. It was the ART Conference, Association of Related Churches. And this one happened to be up in Concord. And Kyle Hearn and I, who works here, got to get put in a breakout session, I think we were told to go there, that was on public speaking and how to deliver an effective message. And we were hoping for all these like cool tricks and things and like ways we can present things and have it be more effective, have people understand. And we got this like 2-hour lecture on how to write an essay and then recite your essay from memory. It was crazy. But I remember one thing in that breakout session, and the guy said, you know, if you ever find something you really like, write it down. Because God gives you certain things at certain times to be used when he calls them out of your heart. And so what I got out of it was when I hear a good joke, I should write it down, right? So then I can use it later. And it just so happened the joke I got out of that day, I can use today. So here it is. I think it has something to do with face-to-face with people that are different than us. It goes like this. There were these two guys, probably living, and this is a joke, so it's all hypothetical, about 60, 65 years ago. So growing up in the 40s and 50s. And one guy's white and one guy's black, and they're growing up together, and they don't know each other well. They just met for the first time in school, and there's not much they have in common. But as they go to school and they continue to grow up, they do meet each other and learn a little bit more about each other through sports and homework and being in the same class year to year or from 1 year to maybe the third year, like skipping a year in between. But as they grow up, they start developing this bond. And the cool thing is this bond, while they see each other in sports and games and things like that, they develop this bond because at the center of their relationship, they both love Christ. They're both Christians, and they go to church, but they go to two different churches. But this friendship continues to develop. They get into their 20s, the 30s, they're working. They have families, the families leave. And then by the end of it, they're really great friends, and they end up going and being leaders in their church and helping out and continuing to develop this relationship, but the whole time there's a little bit of tension. And that tension comes over one thing they can't quite agree on. Because ever since they met each other and knew they went to two different churches and started getting face to face, you know what I'm talking about, like a little deeper than just the surface context, there was one belief that they couldn't translate. Because the white boy always thought that Jesus was white. He comes from Israel. That's the ethnicity that was there. Jesus has got to be white. And the black guy says, no, Jesus has got to be black because you got to have soul to save a soul. You know what I'm talking about? So they have this little argument. It goes on and on and on. And it follows them year after year. And they're in these churches and they're going about their thing. And they end up in the same retirement home together. And they're in this retirement home and they're leading Bible studies. And one night they were driving to a Bible study that was at another church down the road. And unfortunately it was raining out and they got in a car wreck and both of them died. And as sad as that is, they both sort of had to chuckle as their souls went up to heaven because they'd finally get to know truly and fully, was Jesus black or was Jesus white? And as their souls went up to heaven and they're walking up to the pearly gates, they can see him in the distance, they can see Jesus next to the pearly gates dressed in white, but they can't quite make him out. And one of them starts jogging a little bit and the other one starts running. And they're getting closer and they're closer, and all of a sudden Jesus looks up and they know this is going to be the moment. And Jesus looks up and he says, Buenos dias, señores. And in that moment they realized, what is the difference? Sometimes we get in our heads these differences that pull us apart or that might rub us under the skin different ways. But at the end of it, we're all the same. And that's what I want to dig into today is how do we interact face-to-face with those that are different than me. And I want you to put yourself in me, because if you look around this room, take a second, look around. Where's the one person that's your twin? If you came here with a twin, could you stand up? Okay, no, we're good. So everyone's different. Even though we come from different families, or maybe we're here part of the same family, we still are different in one way or another. But we can interact with people that are different on a deeper level that God calls us into. So we went through the first scripture that's part of the series. I also want to go through the second one. This is a scripture we haven't brought up too much in the face-to-face series, but for today I think it's really important, and it's Matthew 22, 37 through 39. And it reads this. The Pharisees are talking to Jesus, asking him, what is the greatest commandment? Trying to trick him, and Jesus replies, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And I think that really plays into, especially this Sunday, because if we're interacting with those that are different than who we are, we have to remember that we are called as Christians to love our neighbor as ourself, or even to love our neighbor as God loved us. And I want to dig into that today, because believe it or not, many of you may know, we don't live in a society today here in America where differences or diversity is necessarily a common thing. We're getting to the point where it's obvious. There is differences. These people live here. These people live here. These people go here to eat. These people go here. You have these lifestyles and this lifestyle and this lifestyle. Everyone's in their own little group. And it's interesting because I thought this, and I was wanting to make sure it was true before I got up here and was talking to you guys. So I started doing some research last week. And I found an article that was published February of this year by the Public Religion Research Institute. It was published in the Atlantic Magazine and then critiqued by NPR, the New York Times, and USA Today. So this has a lot of what I would say is validity to it. But they found after a year and a half of study that 1 in 5 Americans have little to no contact with people of a different religion. On a weekly basis, lifetime basis, whatever. Also, 1 in 5 Americans have little to no contact, being less than once a week, of people with a different race and or income level than them. That's crazy. So 20% of us on a day-to-day basis don't interact with anyone that's vastly different than us. How are we supposed to do that if we don't actually enter in to those circumstances that allow us to do that? And that's what I want to go through today. I think it comes down to two things, and I split them out a little bit on your notes, but I think in my mind, it comes down to, I think we're creatures of comfort. Does anybody want to agree with that? Anybody like AC? It's running right now. Feels good in here. I think us as humans, we tend naturally, as we move outside our comfort zone, to reestablish that comfort zone. If we're in a place that makes us uneasy, we either try to make that place feel more comfortable or we go back to the place where we feel secure. I know Kyle hit on this a couple weeks ago on talking to non-believers. Is how we do that. Does it make us feel uneasy to go outside of our comfort zone? Because the more I think about it, the more not only it affects how we interact with those that are different than us, but does it affect how we interact with God? If we never go to a place where we need God to come through, do we ever rely on Him to come through? But if we think of that, trying to get back on topic here, sorry, I'm going way to another side. If we're interacting with people that are different than us, I think it comes down to two things. It comes down to difference makers and difference breakers. And these are in your notes. You don't need to write them down. You can reference them. But it comes down to two things. The first being difference makers are things that we use to make people different than us. When we look at someone, when we meet somebody, what do we see that makes them different than us? What is that wall we build up? What is that view that we have that we know, it might be in the back of our mind, it might be on the forefront of our mind, that this person is not like me? And does that make us uncomfortable? The second one's difference breakers, but we'll get there soon, I promise. So let's go through the difference makers. Number one, I put down is our beliefs. I don't want to get on this too much because Kyle had a great message with it a couple weeks ago, but sometimes our beliefs keep us from interacting with those that are different with us. You know, 1 in 5 Americans have little to no contact with someone with another religion. So one, are we even putting ourselves in a position where we meet people with a different religion than us? And then two, when we see someone that has a different religion than us, are we praying that God would put them in our path to initiate a face-to-face conversation, or are we trying our best to go the other way to avoid that conversation? So I don't know about with you guys, to me, when someone has different beliefs than I do, it's tough sometimes to relate to where they're coming from. But it doesn't mean I can't hear them out and respect their beliefs. Okay? But I know in my mind, I say, well, they're never going to understand where I'm coming from because they don't know my beliefs. So, and I don't know their beliefs, so why should we even talk about it to start with? So that creates the lack of a face-to-face interaction. I'll give you an example. Ask Paige if I could use this last night, and she's giving me this look like I gave you permission, but I'm not sure if I should have. But as we were dating, I grew up in this church. I grew up in a Christian family. I like to think I haven't strayed too far from that. It's debatable sometimes, I guess. But anyway, it's been full circle. But as we were dating, it was my first time to be face-to-face with someone in deep, deep conversation of someone who had different beliefs than me. And what I learned very quickly was that even if someone has different beliefs, you can still have a conversation about your beliefs. But I also found out if I believe that my beliefs are right beyond the shadow of a doubt, that I disrespect their beliefs, that conversation's ended before it's ever begun. When me and Paige would talk about the ins and outs of our beliefs and the things that might be slightly different or not quite the same, and I got aggressive about my beliefs, then her beliefs were never heard, and vice versa. So when we interact with other people, or do we interact with other people with beliefs that are different than ours, how do we engage them? Do we embrace the difference in belief, knowing that God's going to create an opportunity, or do we see it as a barrier, and it keeps us from having a face-to-face conversation? Second one, easy, how we look. No one in here looks the same. You ever see people that look different than you? We can think like it might be something with race or skin color, nationality, but you're talking, this could be people with disabilities, people with physical ailments. They may dress differently than you. May wear their hair differently. I personally love blue blonde tips. Like, I've been trying to get Paige to do some blue hair for a while, but that would freak a lot of people out. It freaks her out. It's okay, you know? But people are different. They look different. Does that cause a barrier to keep us from interacting with someone? Or is it knowing, well, I can't get to the next part because that'll get to the difference breakers. Last one, image. Oh, sorry, third one, lifestyle, status. Does our lifestyle or our status, or where we come from, what we grew up with, affect how we interact with others? The difference in lifestyle in your workplace. Students, difference in lifestyle in your schools. People in your classes that might have different backgrounds, different upbringings. Does that create barriers to having face-to-face conversations? Or is it not there? I know for me, one of the things, you know, difference in lifestyle I grew up with. Anybody know any good churchy words? No? Okay, cool. I'll give you one. It's called soul food. Christ the King, we grew up thinking soul food was something you read in the Bible and it fed your soul. It was awesome. It was a good word of God. And then when I got into college and I was running track and I had three sprinters as roommates, I learned what deep fried soul food really was. And that stuff is awesome. Like, I never knew chicken and hot dogs and stuff, when you mix it in with chili, can last a week without being refrigerated. It is so good. It's like a fine wine. It gets better each and every day until day seven. Then you don't try it. But it's such good food. But it's a difference in lifestyle. But is it something we embrace and we engage with, or is it something we know that we don't want to be involved with? Last but not least, image. Is the image of ourselves, another one could be said as pride, keep us from interacting with others on a face-to-face level that are different than us? Does the pride of my accomplishments, does the pride of what I've done, does the pride of who I am, what my position is, keep me from interacting with those in my workplace, in my friend circle, in school, that are different than me, that haven't accomplished as much as me? A homeless person, a poor person, a person with addiction, a person without addiction? Does that create a barrier in our lives that keep us from interacting with those people that are different? Are we too good for someone else? Was Christ too good for us? So I want to think about those things and how we take those four things and have those at the forethought of our mind, knowing as Americans, as believers, sometimes we might put those up as defenses against having a conversation with someone that's different than us versus taking an initiative to really be face-to-face with someone else. And if we have those at the forethought of our mind, then right behind them, we can have the next four things that I want to give you that I think are difference breakers, that are the things we remind ourselves of when one of those pops into our head that, hey, he looks different, I need to step away, oh, wait. And then here's our difference breakers. Here's the things that break down those walls. The first one is, I think no one is perfect. If we go into a conversation, if we go into interacting with someone, remembering that no one's perfect, and yes, that includes you and me, then there's no precedent set on how the conversation must go. That if someone gets offended, there can be an apology and that conversation can restart. If they say something that's a little out of context or rubs you the wrong way, then it's okay. You just take a step back and remember, hold on, no one's perfect. Let's dig into this again. In Romans 8:3, I have a few scriptures here that have come to me since Monday of this past week. So if you want to write these references down, you can look at them when you leave. The first one's Romans chapter 8, verse 3. It says, the law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. No one's perfect, not even us. There's a reason Christ came, and the reason that Christ came as fully God yet fully man, to show us not only an example of how to live in a perfect relationship with God, but how to interact with others and how a perfect being could interact with people that aren't perfect and yet still have face-to-face, deep conversation about anything and everything, even their deepest and darkest sins, and yet they could still find joy in talking about those. Remember, no one's perfect. Also in Colossians 1, verses 13 through 22, it reads this, talking about God, for he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son. who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Indeed, Christ is the visible image of an invisible God. He existed before anything was created. He's supreme over all. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. And he made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. Yes, this includes you who were once far from God. You who were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions, yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. And as a result, listen to this, he has brought you into his own presence. And you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. This isn't a message on coming face to face with non-believers. But I think a lot of the context that we use to come face to face with non-believers, we should have in our mind to come face to face with people that are different than us. Because if we believe that no one's perfect and we remember that we're not perfect and that Christ had to come and die on a cross for me, he also came and died on a cross for that person, regardless how that person's lifestyle is, regardless how they're acting, regardless of what their beliefs are, our only job is to shine God's light on them. And don't take this the wrong way, because this is going to lead us into our next point. But it isn't to shine God's light in the place you think they need it. Because let me tell you, number two, no one's the same. God's little fix-it plug doesn't plug into everybody the same way. If we go into a relationship or an interaction with someone trying to fix that interaction, trying to stick Jesus where we want to stick it, it doesn't work. That's the whole preface of this series, is if no one's the same, not only do we need to meet people where they are, but we need to be open-minded to what they need. They don't necessarily need what we want to give them. Okay? If not everyone is the same, and I say that in the sense of there's different ways we've been brought up, there's different lifestyles we live, there's different cultures that we interact with, in the sense of what we're doing might make no sense to someone else, even though we're trying our best to tell them something. I think it was Dave Ramsey once, I was listening to one of his podcasts, talked about the hardest part of conversation is having the person you're talking to understand what you're actually trying to say. Sometimes it might be like that with your spouse or your friends or your family. I think it's the same thing when we interact with people different than us. We have to remember that they're not the same person as us. And that God created them unique and beautiful in his own image. Genesis 1, 26 through 31. Then God said, "Let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They'll reign over the fish and the sea, the birds of the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals." Continue. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, said, "Be fruitful and multiply." And he goes on to finish, it says, "It was very good." Notice at the beginning of that passage, it doesn't say, "Let us make human beings in our image exactly alike, just as we are alike." It said, "Let us make human beings in our own image." So each and every person, whether they are the same as you or whether they're not, is still a being created in the image of God. And if those differences keep us from interacting with someone, from showing God's love to somebody, then we're actually taking away love from one of God's creation. And remember, no one's the same. Different baggage carries differently. We all have baggage. We all have scars. God uses scars to tell his story through us, but we all have wounds too. And know that when you interact with someone different than you, know that how you interact with them makes a difference. During the week, my day job is running a coffee roastery here in South Charlotte, and we provide coffee to a lot of different people. One of the organizations we provide coffee to, I just have a heart for, it's Charlotte Rescue Mission. I don't know if any of you are familiar with Charlotte Rescue Mission. It's like right next to Panther Stadium. Next time you're tailgating, just swing by. There's a place called Community Matters Cafe, shameless plug for them. They don't carry our coffee there, don't worry. But anyway, Charlotte Rescue Mission helps those going through addiction. And the way when we go drop off coffee and talk with people there, we don't interact the same way that I would with a coworker or a friend that I know. You know? I enjoy drinking a beer when it's hot outside. I enjoy a little bit of bourbon now and then. Not a good conversation starter for someone who's struggling with addiction. You have to be mindful of where someone is in their walk in life to how you interact with them. It shouldn't keep you from coming face to face with them, but it should drive you to meet them where they are. There's a guy that leads up at Charlotte Rescue Mission their food service program called Enrico Blake. It's O-H-E-N-R-I-K-K-O, I think. I'm an engineer, not good at spelling. But you call him Rico for short. If you guys are ever up there, look up Rico, awesome guy. He went to West Charlotte High School, went to Olympic for a year, about 20 years before I did, but really cool dude. And I asked him about this message. I said, what do you guys do here at Charlotte Rescue Mission to bring people from every walk of life and to get them through addiction? He goes, well, they come through these doors and there's two things we do. We don't try to fix them. And we all got issues. And we make that the first and foremost concept, is that Jesus is the one that doesn't have anything wrong with him, but he's the one person that we all need. And we set that at the forefront of what we do. So if there's any difference in where we come from, in our lifestyles, what we do, at the grounds of what we do is the love of Christ. And it's the thought of being open-minded just as God was with us. And I don't say open-minded in the sense of creating multiple ways to get back to God. God was not open-minded on how he was going to bring salvation. God brought salvation through Christ. But God met us where we needed to be met to bring us back to him. The same thing that Rico pointed out here. So be open-minded, meet people where they are. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, also verses 25 through 27 reads this. It's talking about the church being one body, and the church being a group of believers, not necessarily just in this church, but believers out in the community that may indeed be different than us. It reads this, then the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, some are free, but we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we now all share the same Spirit in common. So this makes for harmony among many members, so that all members care for each other. If one part suffers, then all parts suffer with it. If one part is honored, all parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Because we oftentimes forget interacting with people that are different than us sometimes involves interacting with people at church that are different with us too. So as we go about our weeks and our small groups and the Bible studies here on a Sunday morning, don't let there be anybody that you don't want to go up and talk to. And just in the same way, different people have different talents, different abilities, different things that set them apart. Embrace those. Stop and listen to what they might be. Listen to what a person likes to do. Listen to what they're talented at doing before judging who they are. Leads us into the next part, number three, get to know the whole person. Get to know the whole person and where they come from. Listen to them. Spend time with them. Have a face-to-face interaction. I know for me, sometimes during the week, it's tough because I've got things I've got to get done. I can't stop and talk to everybody I see. But I try to make it a point, and this is just an example out of my life, when we do deliveries, coffee deliveries during the week, whoever I'm delivering to is going to get at least 5 minutes of my time to hear about how their week is, how their life is, and not for me just to upsell them on what I'm doing. And that's my way to get to know them deeper than just who I think they are. I love the passage, Hebrews 3, verse 2. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. For some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. And sometimes I look at scripture and think, you know, maybe it's a parable, maybe they don't exactly mean what they say, but for some reason, it just makes me smile thinking that that could be word for word. We could have entertained angels because we gave someone the time of day that God put in our path, that we can meet where they are and share with them the love of Christ. Jesus shows us how to do this, get to know the whole person with John chapter 4, verses 7 through 30. I won't read it to you. It's 23 verses. It'll keep us here all day. But it's, you guys have probably heard it. It's the woman at the well. Or Jesus speaks with the Samaritan woman, is what the title is. And long story short, I'll paraphrase it. Disciples go off and get food because they're concerned with food. And Jesus is sitting at the well and he's hot and he wants a drink. Woman goes up to the well, gets some water, realizes Jesus doesn't have a rope to get water out of the well. And is like, how do you get this living water stuff? And Jesus goes on and tells her about living water and all this stuff. But he does it after he hears about her life. He does it after he gets to know who she is, what she's gone through, what she's searching for, and what she needs. He doesn't say, hey, my name's Jesus, I'm the Son of God, believe in me, you'll never be thirsty again, have a good life, I'm out. No, he sits by the well while the disciples are gone. He asks her about her lifestyle. And listen to this, he hears about her lifestyle and continues to discuss what's going on. Because sometimes if we don't get to know the whole person, does anybody else judge someone by how you see them? I think this is a big issue in our society today. And I know for me even, it's tough, is I'll see someone, I guess I can tell you this example, it's not too bad. So I'll see someone driving slow down the road, and if you guys drive slow down the road, I'm sorry, it's not you, it's me. But sometimes when I'm in a hurry, I get upset. And I get really upset, and I might smack my steering wheel, and Ryan works with me, he's smiling over here, he knows how it goes. And I'll be like, move, get out of the passing lane, I gotta go. And I might say some choice words that I have to ask for forgiveness later. That's not good. But I don't know that person. I just know that they're not going 45 in a 45. They're going like 25, and it's driving me nuts because I have places I need to go. And God has a way when you're preaching on stage of humbling you and convicting you. So, of course, this week as I was trying to get a boat to run, I tried everything I could to get it to run, and I pumped 20 gallons of gas out of the tank that had water in it, and I have to go throw it away. And God's like, ha, watch this, you know? So I was driving along the road, and I had 4 tanks of gas in the back. It was 26 gallons, and it was like filled to the brim. And the little vent holes, every time I took a turn, they shot out and hit my ceiling of my car and like coated the car in this amazing odor that I could not get out of it the rest of the week. But I was driving along, and I was driving down 49, and all these people are honking and flashing me. And I'm like, what's wrong? I'm only going 15 in a 45. I don't want to get gas on my car. And I'm like, crap, I do that. And then just to rub it in, I drove to the recycling center down here near Baxter, and they're like, oh, we only accept this stuff on Thursday. You might want to try the one in York. And if any of you have ever gone from Baxter to York, it's like an hour drive. So luckily, I didn't get on the interstate. That would have been horrendous. I went all the way back around 160 to Rivergate, hit traffic again, went down, went to York. They're like, oh yeah, we do take it, but we only take it on Thursdays if you make an appointment. So then I had to drive all the way back from York up to here and drop it back off in my dad's garage, all the time going no more than 20 miles an hour and getting honked at the whole time. So thank you, all those that honked and reiterated the point of me not yelling at people that drive slow. But sometimes we see, what I'm getting at is sometimes we see the surface of somebody and we don't realize what's going on in their life. We don't realize the stuff that's going on the inside. So sometimes getting to know the whole person better allows us to know who we're talking to and who God made in his image. It leads us into the last point. Everyone's a child of God. If we go up to someone that's different than us, if we feel those walls of differences going up in front of our eyes or in our minds, the one thing we can remind ourselves of is everyone is a child of God. And I don't mean that in the sense of everyone is saved. I think we're saved through Christ when we believe that. But everyone is created imperfectly perfect in the image of God. And if we start a conversation with that, knowing that we're imperfectly perfect, and we're a creation of God, and God loves us completely, even though we're sinners, then we can interact with people knowing that they might just not know the love of Christ fully yet. And that's not necessarily for us to give them, or it's not necessarily for us to tell them that. But if we get to know who they are, and we remember that they're a child of God, then that, more than anything, should break down the differences from us interacting with those that face to face. I have one last passage for you. It's from Deuteronomy 10, verses 17 through 19. It reads this: "For the Lord our God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords. He's the great God, the mighty and awesome God, who shows no impartiality and cannot be bribed. He ensures the orphans and the widows receive justice. He shows love to the foreigners living among you and gives them food and clothing. So you too must show love to foreigners, for you yourselves were once foreigners in the land of Egypt." Or even Hebrews 13, verses 11 through 14. "Under the old system, the high priest brought the blood of the animals into the holy place as a sacrifice for sin. And the animals were burned outside of the camp. So also Jesus suffered and died outside of the city gates to make his people holy by means of his own blood. So let us go out then to the others, outside of the camp, and bear the disgrace that Jesus bore. For this world is not our permanent home. We are looking forward to a home that is yet to come." So that's my challenge for you this week. Knowing that we're all imperfectly perfect creations of God, how do we get out of here and get outside of our comfort zone? How do we get outside of our comfort zone to go outside of the city gate, outside of our norm, and not necessarily make it a purpose to interact with someone different than us? Don't throw yourself onto someone else. But to be aware, to have our eyes be open to the people that God's putting in our path that are different than us, that we get a chance to interact with, to know fully, and to engage with face to face. Because I know beyond the shadow of a doubt, if that's your prayer, then God's going to answer it. I know leading up to this message this week, there was only one day this week where me and Paige weren't engaged with a group of people that was just a mixture of people with different beliefs, different cultures, different backgrounds. That I had to smile last night because it was the first time in a month that it's been that way. And I realized that we're called to go out and interact with those that are different than us. But how often do we make that a priority? And often do we make the time, sorry, there's a little kid with his head stuck in the window, looking in here. How oftentimes do we make that a priority versus making the priority our day and our thing, but remembering that all people are created in the image of God and all people God loves completely, and that as believers we're called to go out and love on others and show them the love of Christ. So would you pray with me and we'll close out. God, we just come to you this morning. God, your people, fully surrendered in all of you, for what you've done, who you are, and the beauty that you've woven into each and every one of our lives, that each and every one of us can show your love in a way that's different, but yet each and every one of us show your love in a way that's beautiful. So God, I pray this week that your spirit would just be on this congregation. That your spirit would just be on your people as a whole. And that all the things that make differences in our lives and in our minds between each and every person we meet, that those would slowly come down. The barriers would come down in your name, Father. And that your truth would surpass anything that gets in the way of us showing your love to others. That as we'll once be fully known by you, that we would initiate the conversation to know fully those around us. And that we wouldn't just know in part, but we could engage face to face to truly know the heart of each and every person you've put in our path. So God, we ask all these things in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, church.